From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, ever-looks-like-new-haircut-rocking, my friend, my producer, my brother, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark himself, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hi there, Bob. Here's the thing, Bob. You say haircut. Got one a few weeks back because I had longer hair, but here's the thing. I'm practicing different lighting here. See, the camera gets moved in and out from time to time, but they left it on this, and I was going to change it back, but here's the thing. Looks rather nice. It looks like a blue tint to it, kind of in a way. Kind of a mysterious mood lighting here, Bob. I'm Bob After Dark.
I don't get mood lighting. I get harsh studio lights.
You get the harsh
I get harsh studio
I'm really liking
lights.
The way this looks, though, because usually I look kind of harsh because I'm rather on the pale side of things, and the light is kind of harsh in here, but I'm kind of liking the way it looks today. If you're on Jed TV, you can check that out. But, yeah, I'm not too bad, not too shabby here, Bob. But, yeah, you know what? They say the studio lights, you know, it adds to the whole effect. And you got your makeup on, right? Your studio makeup?
Oh, absolutely. Know, we have a lot of budget here at Bob After Dark for makeup artists. And yeah, you can tell that my makeup artist has been hard at work over here.
For sure. And you got a seat next to you, Bob. Is somebody joining you?
No. I just realized I have a seat next to me. That's my arm resting chair for the night.
We forgot to move that chair out.
I could bring Wolfie back.
Wolfie,
we've been holding the props back because, you know, obviously COVID stuff. We want to make sure we're not like cross contaminating the table.
You're right.
Too
Wolfie
much.
Is full of germs.
I think Wolfie can make an appearance back for the spooky season.
You gotta get Wolfie tested and bring back here. But Wolfie came in post pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
A little bit.
So Wolfie could be okay.
We'll bring Wolfie back.
Yeah.
So, how have you been, Count Panic? I haven't seen you.
Yes.
Last week we didn't have a show because of scheduling reasons. So, what's been going on with you? Let's get some updates from you. That's what the fans want.
You want
to hear.
The weekend update, don't you? Want to know? That's what you want to know.
That's what we want to know.
All right. Well, here in the region, folks, the Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana, whatever you want to call it, this past weekend, Bob, in your territory, right there, smack dab outside your house. Big festivities always happen each and every year. Of course, nothing happened last year, but it's called Pierogi Fest, folks. If you haven't been there, it's a giant festival in Whiting, Indiana. And folks travel in throughout the country, throughout the globe, to take part in Pierogi Fest. I had the honor, once again, of being a part of the Lawmer Brigade there during the parade. And great time, hot time as well. It was very hot out there, but hey, I missed it from last year. It was great to be a part of it. Got some video of it coming up next weekend, but it was fantastic.
Were you part of the parade again this year?
I was.
The Ghostbusters did not. We opted out of it this year because of obvious COVID issues. So we opted out of being in the parade. But did you march in the parade in the Lawnmower Brigade?
Pandemic be darned, I was there.
For you guys that don't know what the Pierogi Fest is, in the simplest terms, it's a festival celebrating a Polish delicacy, which is literally a dumpling noodle
basically
stuffed with stuff.
Yeah. No, you're correct on that. Yes.
I mean, that's the easiest term, and it keeps the town very weird. Very odd. If that pierogi parade, if you've never heard of it or seen it, it's the wackiest thing you'll ever be a part of. That's it. I walked down one day for Friday, and I went and picked up some food and pastries. Shout out to the Whiting's Elks Lodge corn roast during Pierogi Fest, because I don't really get pierogies at Pierogi Fest. I get that all year round. But let me tell you about that corn roast.
That's right. They did have the corn
they
roast.
They do the corn
there,
roast
yeah.
every year, and yeah. my God, for $2 for that ear of corn, I can't thank it enough.
How they make it so perfect?
I don't understand. They have like a secret thing about it. I don't understand how they do it. I grew up in Indiana where it is corn country all the time, right? We you and I, we live here.
Yes.
And I've never had better corn than the Whiting Elks Lodge corn roast.
And corn, they say there's more than corn in Indiana.
But
there is good corn in Whiting, Indiana at Elks Lodge. But you described that perfectly good, Bob. Yes, I was there pushing the lawnmower. It was a hot weekend, Bob.
Oh, it was Friday. I where I'm at, it's about 2 blocks away from the fest, and the fest is maybe a quarter mile big, right, if that. And I was pouring sweat. I couldn't imagine those workers that were out there working those hot griddles and grills and stuff. And absolutely not. I walked there and walked my happy camper self right back home to eat my food.
Well, here's the thing, too. I was thinking about you during that because you said you didn't partake in the parade.
No.
Bob, that would have been, I don't know. I don't think that would have ended well for you in that suit.
No, absolutely.
In a parade that's in 95 degree weather.
I would have, you would have been, Bob After Dark would have been hosted from a jar.
Can you guys, like, have summer gear or no?
We do.
Like, cut off jumpsuits or no?
Yeah, you can have, like, can't think of it, but there's people that wear like the cut off sleeves and pant like flight suits for their Ghostbuster outfit.
I didn't know that.
For you guys that don't know, Bob After Dark, me, when I'm not hosting Bob After Dark, I'm a part of a charity organization called the Windy City Ghostbusters. We dress as the Ghostbusters people and go raise money for the La Rabita Children's Hospital in the South Side of Chicago. Travel all over the greater tri-state area to go do events and stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
All for a good cause.
All for a great cause.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Hobby of mine. Minus that, so last week we didn't have the show. We were dealing with scheduling issues, so it just didn't pan out the way I wanted to. And then I was going to do a podcast exclusive episode, but again, timing got to timing, and it just didn't pan out. So I'm happy to be back here with you, Count Panic, because if there's one thing in the week I look forward to, is sitting 12 feet away from you when you're behind glass, and I just get to see
the top of my forehead. There.
The top of your forehead. You're like, what was his name, Wilson in the Home Improvement?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm very much happy to be back here.
No, it's great to
be
back.
Count Panic, I have a new hobby, apparently.
You have a new hobby?
I do have a new hobby, and that is hunting for Halloween decorations and decor in July.
Now,
yes.
Is that a common thing, Bob?
Well, I guess in my life it's a common thing now. So, news flash to all my spooky fans out there in the world, and we'll dive into the show here in a moment. A place called At Home, big shout out to At Home, put up their Halloween display. Literally July 5th, they started putting up their Halloween display, mm-hmm. which means I had to be there to go get first pickings. And because of that, now I get to do the great Halloween triathlon, which is you go to the big like four stores that have like the big Halloween displays.
Yeah.
Michael's, Home Goods, Marshall's.
They're out already though?
Yeah, places are slowly putting out their stuff.
Holy
I have bought Halloween decor already.
In July.
Hmm.
Is that as bad as Christmas in October?
No. It's just listen,
can't we all just wait?
Yeah, stop.
No.
Yeah, I was doing
But you're going to say that. You say that now for Halloween, but when Christmas rolls around in September, you'd be like, well, can't we wait?
I will.
But for folks that love summer, they're saying, can't we wait?
Halloween is it's a way of life. Thank you very much.
Yeah. For Christmas, people, it's Christmas a way of life as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been nonstop hunting for the Halloween decor, which has been a lot of fun. That's my new hobby. And we have some news on Bob After Dark, which I will get to here in just a quick moment. If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark in podcast land or listening to us on the WJOB TuneIn, or if you're watching on Jed TV, Bob After Dark is your weekly show about legends, lore, and supernatural. Talk about things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid sightings, and Count Panic's favorite way to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes, peanut butter on the bottom, jelly on the top.
What's your preferred flavor of jelly?
The standard grape jelly is fine.
Grape?
Yeah.
Jelly or jam?
Oh, good call on that one, too.
We split the show.
I guess you could have either or.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm a grape jelly guy myself.
Sure.
I like grape. So anyway, we split up the show into a couple different parts. First part is where we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you, the children of the night, send me weird articles you find in the world. That could be anything from paranormal making it to mainstream media, general weird news, and advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Those are some of my favorite stories as we slowly move into the new era of AI controlling everything and Terminator basically being a thing.
It's always a thing, Bob.
Always a thing.
Yeah. Hey, and before you move any further.
Absolutely, Compadre.
We've been getting some great fan mail lately.
We have. I got a piece of fan mail from Jody over the weekend.
Jody. Yes, I saw the post.
Jody sent me a beautiful letter once again. Jody's on the ball with this one. We're going to be setting up a P.O. box here soon for you guys to be sending in mail, because Bob After Dark officially has a letter board that when you, the Children of Night, write handwritten snail mail, you guys make it to the what I'm calling the Hall of Fame. And that's got some really cool stuff up there, all my letters that you guys handwrite me, which means a lot. I get a lot of electronic fan mail, which is fine. I don't expect any fan mail.
No.
But it's really cool when somebody, like, takes the time to write or print, like, fan mail, and now it's going up on the Hall of Fame, which I'm really excited
about. It's
amazing. So Jody recently took a trip to West Virginia and went to the Flatwood Monsters Museum, which is it's a cryptid we haven't spoke of late yet. We'll get to that episode soon. And Jody sent me a coloring book. It's the Monsters of the Mountains coloring book, which is exclusively offered at the Flatwood Monster Museum. And it's literally a coloring book of all the weird, spooky nonsense that happens in the Appalachians. And it's very cool that I got that with the handwritten letter and then a pamphlet for both Braxton County Paranormal and the Flatwood Monster Museum in general, which are a stop I'm going to take here maybe next year, that and the Mothman Museum, because I've never been to either, funny enough.
Now's the time.
I was supposed to be at Mothman Festival last year, but...
Is there a Mothman Festival parade? Do you know about that?
I do not. I don't think Point Pleasant's big enough to have a parade.
Oh, okay.
From what I've heard from my fans that are there every year, and like Josh, shout out to Josh Yatter. Point Pleasant is very dead if you're not going during Mothman Festival, so I don't know if they have a parade, but they have a big fest for Mothman, and I think me and you will take a trip out there next year.
Mothman Fest, sure.
Mothman Fest. Yeah. I don't think it holds a flame to Pierogi Fest, but...
Do they have sweet corn out there, do you know?
Maybe.
Okay.
Pepperoni rolls, apparently.
Oh, that's a big thing in the community.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, over there, Mountain Dew and pepperoni rolls.
Do you have to have them together, or can you have them separate?
I mean, I'm a vegetarian, so you're going to be the one to have to eat the pepperoni rolls.
What kind of rolls do they got for vegetarians?
Biscuits.
Biscuits and Mountain
Dew? Biscuits and Mountain
Dew. You can drink Mountain Dew, though.
I'm not a fan, but I will drink Mountain Dew if I'm in West Virginia.
Baja Blast.
The classic green.
Oh, okay, the classic Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a refreshing beverage.
You know, Count Panic, there's also been a big update for Bob After Dark since the last time we talked.
What's the update?
The Bob After Dark website is up.
It's up and running?
It's up and running. You can now go to bobafterdark.com, and you can go check out the Bob After Dark website.
That's fantastic.
It's still under slight construction, but it's up there. You can see the profiles of me and Count Panic up there. You can go and listen to the episodes on there. I'm going to be launching a new feature for Bob After Dark.
Beautiful. So it's up. If I go there right now,
you can go there right now.
Good to go.
It's up and right now. We have our little beacon thing there, which is you can go and find us wherever, you know. You can find us on whatever. We have the links to all of our podcast stuff. Our, you know, you can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff, all in a line there.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a fancy site here, Bob.
Thank you. Yeah. Big shout out to Pat from Ghostly for sitting down and spending a Friday with me, helping design and get everything up and running. So it's very cool. We're going to be launching the Bob After Dark store here very soon, which is really exciting. I'm super stoked about that. And, we're going to be launching a new thing here for the Bob After Dark universe, Count Panic.
I like your photo, Bob.
Which photo did I put up?
It's the fireplace, Bob.
Oh, yes, with Uncle Bill, the house skull in front of me.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going back and forth about what photo I wanted to put up there, and there's like a typical headshot I use for most of my stuff. But I'm like, you know what? This is my website. I might as well be fun with it. That's the actual Bob.
And me, I'm casually out there at, I believe that was Crown Point Antique Mart.
I was like, man, Count Panic, you got some pictures you could send me, and you sent me that one.
Well, that's the only one that was like in the cape and stuff like that.
Well,
we got a good one in the cape.
We'll have to book you a photo shoot.
A spooky photo shoot. But that one, I was wearing a cape. I was wearing a t-shirt. I gave it the thumbs up. I was Bigfoot makes a cameo in the corner there, so yeah. I thought it was a solid picture, but we should take more.
Absolutely. You know, Count Panic, there's an exciting bit of news I want to launch today.
Well, before you launch that news, I got to give one more shout-out.
Okay, who are we giving a shout-out to?
Because last week, got a box, a mysterious box.
Oh, my God, the mysterious box.
Sent to the studio.
I am staring at said box right now in the other room.
Well, I got...
There is how many boxes?
What we got here? Alphabets right there.
Someone sent me... How many? Is there 10?
10 boxes.
There are 10 boxes of Alphabet cereal that someone sent me in the mail. 10 boxes, and there was there's no person on
from
it.
From Chicago.
Chicago. Somebody from Chicago sent me 10 boxes of Alphabet cereal.
Amazing.
Now, it's funny because that person has to be a very dedicated fan of Bob After Dark to know where that came from. It wasn't even a joke I made on my show. It was about a bit that I did on Ghostly Podcast where we had talked to Terry Carnations, cough, cough, Rainn Wilson, cough, cough, and we were playing factor crap like paranormal experiences, uh-huh. And I gave an experience where I was doing divination with Alphabet cereal. Obviously, it was my that was my crap story, but I was majorly surprised about I was majorly surprised. You sent me this message and you're like, there are 10 boxes of Alphabet cereal here.
Right here.
Do you want to know the last time I had Alphabet cereal?
When was the last time?
Probably 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see it really too much.
No, but there's 10 boxes.
No, you think they're worth money?
Maybe, but we're as beautiful and as wonderful as a gift that is, folks. I'm not going to eat 10 boxes of Alphabet cereal. Those are going to be donated to our local food bank.
Wait a second.
What?
I think I ate about 9 already.
Did you really? Well, we're still going to donate. We're going to be donating the
I'm
boxes.
I'm kidding. I didn't eat any boxes.
Yeah, we're gonna,
it's and, going to charity.
Me and Cal Panic will be donating the boxes to the local food bank. That's going to be a we'll pack some other stuff with it. It's time to start, you know, giving and caring about some folk in our world, and I'm going to pay it forward. So, super fan, whoever you are, thank you so much. The thought really counts. I'm going to keep one box. I'm going to put it up in the Bob After Dark Museum as a with a picture of the 10,
yes.
And we're going to donate the 9 boxes to the local food bank.
Put it in a time capsule, and years from now, open it back up.
Absolutely. So, cereal. But thank you, super fan. I really appreciate that. That was probably the greatest fun fan gift I've ever received. I had a really good laugh about it when Kyle Panic sent me the picture. And you're going to make a lot of people happy with that because, you know, this is a weird time in the world and people could use the help.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's cereal that's educational as well.
It's educational.
It helps you spell.
So so you're going to be making a lot of people happy, and we really appreciate you for that fact. So thank you, Mysterious Fan.
There you go. Thank you.
All right, can we talk about the new launch of this thing?
It's the good news you had.
Yes.
Big news.
Big news. All right, you ready for the
I'm
big
ready.
News? All right, so Bob After Dark website is launching with something new called the B-Files.
The B-Files.
The B-Files. B as in Bob.
B as in Bob. What's the B-Files, Bob?
So the B-Files is going to be this new thing we're launching for Bob After Dark, and it's going to be the Bob After Dark blog. So there are a lot of, there's more spooky tales and paranormal encounters and things like that that are quick, short stories that I physically cannot make into an episode. If I stretched out the longest segment I could possibly think of for some of these stories, you may get 7 minutes of material out of me, and that's not enough to produce an episode. So those are going to start ending up on the TikTok channel for our video and audio fans, and we're going to be calling it the B-Files. And for our fans that don't necessarily get down with the talk, you guys can go check out the B-Files at bobafterdark.com, and they're going to be short articles about the weird of the world that does not have enough time or enough space in order to create a whole file.
That makes sense. The B-Files.
But the other cool thing about the B-Files is I don't want to be the one writing them very much.
Okay.
I'll produce content. I want you guys to be the content creators of the B-Files. So if there is like a local ghost story that you know of, or like a local haunted place that you live by, or even just a weird encounter that you've had, they're going to live on the B-Files for everybody to go and check out. And I'm going to produce, the plan is I'm going to produce one of these once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on how the response goes. So how you can send these case files in, and that's what we're going to be calling them, case files. I'm really excited about this. You can send me all the information, bob@bobafterdark.com. In the subject line, put B-file submission, and I will read through it. And if you have pictures, that would be great too. So I'm excited to hear about your local haunts and your local paranormal experiences and stuff, and things that are near and dear to you that necessarily, if you told me, hey, can you do an episode about this, I can't fit an entire content, but I still want you to know that that stuff is important to me. So semi-content, the B-Files, is going to be launching probably early August. The spot's on the website, but there's nothing there yet because I need to get a logo design done, and I'm very excited.
That sounds beautiful. So this is for the community, by the community, Bob, is what you're trying to say.
It's going to be the community, by the community, for the community. Oh. And I'll have some input, and I do have people on site. Couple of things. One, you don't have to be named. So if you would rather remain anonymous, that's more than happy about it. And two, if you aren't comfortable with your writing ability, which I'm going to be the first person to admit, I'm not the best writer in the world, I have people on site and on standby. They're going to help me edit. So don't fret about that either. I want to hear from you. So don't be afraid. It's open to everybody. If you have a good story to share, that's how you'll be submitting. So that's my big announcement for the Bob After Dark website, is we're launching the B-Files. And to the Des Plaines Ghostbusters that are listening right now, no, the Jellyfish Man does not count.
No?
No.
Put your foot down on that one.
They know about the Jellyfish Man.
Well, it's exciting time, Bob. It's exciting time.
So, that's the first couple of minutes of our show tonight has been playing catch-up because we haven't had a good chance to, we haven't had a chance to play catch-up.
A lot of housekeeping out of the way.
We had to get some housekeeping out of the way. I got some convention news coming up soon. I already got booked for my first convention of 2022.
It's happening.
Exactly. OhioCon. Keep an eye out for that.
All right.
It's full steam ahead from here. I see the light, and we're moving towards it. It's very exciting.
Wait, we don't want to do that just yet, do we?
What's that?
We don't want to see the light and move towards the light yet, do we?
It's a good light.
It's a good thing. Okay. All right. Usually that means that it's time to move on. But I guess it is time to move on in one way.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Kyle Panic, you ready to dive right into the weird spooky news of the week?
I'm ready.
I really want us to get a sound bit for this, a spooky sound bit. Don't do it.
Not like a spooky ghost or anything.
No, like a typewriter with like spooky music in the background.
Well, we'll have to go deep into the files for that one. The B files, if you will.
Yes.
I don't know if I can type into YouTube spooky typewriter music and we're not sure where it pops up.
Plus, it has to be royalty free.
Nah, we're on radio. We can get away with it. Anything could happen here, Bob. Anything could happen.
All right,
but yes.
Let's dive right in. So this is a news article that I found from Oddity Central.
Okay.
Oddity Central is a great website to find these weird articles I talk about every week. Sometimes they're a little too weird or sometimes they're a little too niche, but occasionally you find a really good, well-written article on here, and there are a lot of really good written articles, but Bob After Dark, good content, I should say. Mm-hmm. So here's our first article, and this is by whoever the author is named Spooky. Convinced their home is haunted, couple have been sleeping on the balcony for over a month. Convinced that their home is haunted by a ghost, a French couple have been sleeping in a small tent installed on the balcony of their apartment for over a month. Patricia and David C. and their two children moved into an apartment in the social park of Semcoda, S-E-M-C-O-D-A, in Replanges, France, that's R-E-P-L-O-N-G-E-S, last September. Built in 2016 on land that was previously accommodated in an old hangar, their new house was spacious, well-lit, and modern, but the family didn't get to enjoy it for too long, as bizarre things started happening. Patricia claims that her daughter started seeing strange figures around the house soon after they moved in, and after a while, the whole family became convinced that paranormal activity was at play in their apartment. Things got so bad that they had to install a tent on the balcony to get a peaceful night's sleep, and they have been using it for over a month. It started with black shadows, the couple told French newspaper Le Progrès. Then it got louder. The light would randomly go out. The TV turns on by itself. The phone freezes for no reason. And the dishes make some strange noises, etc. Fed up with the paranormal phenomena, the couple sought advice from a so-called magisteur, a person who uses magnetic energy to detect spirits who, after inspecting their apartment, told them it was haunted by a, quote, trapped spirit of a 19th century woman who wanted them gone. And there lies the problem. Patricia and David C. don't have the luxury of simply moving into another home. Because David is disabled, it is impossible for them to get a place outside of France's social assistance program. On the other hand, Cincata, the company that manages the social park, doesn't buy the paranormal explanation, claiming that there is nothing wrong with the apartment and that it has already been rented twice before without incident. Patricia and David have requested that they have been provided another unit within the social park, but for now they have no other option than to spend their night in a tent on their balcony, the only good way to get a good night's sleep. Hashtag panics take, and then I'll be getting on my soapbox.
So this they have to go out to the balcony to get a good night's sleep because it's way too haunted
It's too
on the
haunted.
inside. Well, at that point, can't you just, leave, Bob? I mean,
Well, I mean, they were just saying in the article, though, David's apparently, disabled, and it's really
yeah,
hard
I
for them to
know,
get up
but
and move out.
still, I mean, it just if you're gonna be, there's other options out there, Bob. No matter who you are, there's other options out there. You have to stay in a haunted home, especially if you have to sleep on a balcony every night. I say get away from there. That's my take. Get
Yeah,
away
but if
from
you
there.
can't, you're stuck.
I don't know, Bob. There's got to be other options. You're not stuck anywhere, Bob. Unless you're in jail, but other than that, I don't know. I'd say get out of there.
Okay, despite that, so I have a couple things about this. If the apartment did not show signs of hauntings prior to this family coming in, that leads me to two possible scenarios, maybe three. Three, we're gonna start off with one, and that is the great skeptic side of things, right? And the great skeptic side of things is nothing's going on, and they're looking for attention to sleep out on a balcony to maybe get whatever they're looking to get out of that.
Okay. That's
One.
one scenario.
Scenario number two. Whatever's haunting that apartment didn't give two lesses that the previous tenants were there, and there was no reason for it to latch onto them and bother them. Which leads me to wonder that the spirit that's bothering these tenants now are either somebody in the family is clairvoyant and is, a glowing beacon to the paranormal, and it's just trying to get an attention of the person
Okay.
to get a message across or drain energy from, whatever it might be. Option three, or scenario three. If I had scorecards to hold up, the thing is latched to the family prior to the apartment, and it's just manifesting more potently now. That's my scenario number three. For this family in France, I have a couple suggestions for you. If you're listening, I doubt it. We have fans. Where were they from? Sweden or Switzerland?
There was a couple. Yeah, Switzerland was the other one.
Yeah, so we got people from Switzerland,
They like, yeah, they like the
so
Bob after
maybe
dark.
they do. So maybe this advice can get to them all the way in France. Maybe somebody out there in the world can get this audio to them. The first thing you want to do is rule out actual, paranormal activity and make sure it's not like self-causing poltergeist activity. And what I mean by that is a lot of times in poltergeist activity, we cause it without even realizing that we're causing it. Whether it be, just a lot of negative emotions and it causes you to kind of do things with, being very mindless and you forgot that you did it. Or the other thing I want ruled out is things like exposed wiring, leaky pipes, strong electric magnetic field in there that's causing you to feel a little funny. And I'm not calling you out, I'm just being honest. When it comes to the paranormal world, you need to rule out the logical signs of things, right?
Yeah,
So this is my advice to
you have
you.
to.
This is my advice to you, David and wife. Reach out to your local paranormal investigative team. I'm sure they're out there somewhere in that neck of the woods. And if you can't find them, reach out to me. I will find you a local group that I deem is good enough to go help you out. Or, worst comes to worst, find someone to sponsor me. I will fly to France myself, and I will do the investigating on my own and go take a look.
On your own.
Oh, you're coming with me.
Oh, okay.
You think you're getting out of this? Just like that hole in Yemen. You think you're getting out of
I
this?
I thought we were done with the hole in Yemen.
No, we're never done with the hole in Yemen.
They never figured that out
We
yet?
Never figured out the hole in Yemen, oh. So we need to go to the Yemen to go check out that hole, and then the next thing we got to do is go.
We'll hit one place and then hit up the next place. One back to back, back to back.
So, joking aside, if you guys, you know, those are your options. Find either your local paranormal group.
Got it.
Let me know. I will find you someone to go to your home. Or find a sponsor. You guys don't have to pay for it. Sounds like you guys will, you know, don't have it, which is fine. I'm not, you know, find my ways of getting there, and I will go and figure out what's going on with your issue, right?
Yeah. Nice.
You need a good investigative team to go in there, and that's not real overzealous believers. You need to go in there and rule out the possibility that there's nothing going on mm-hmm. or there's a severe maintenance issue that needs to get fixed.
Creaky pipes.
It could be creaky pipes, a leaky pipe, and is causing, you know, moisture in the air, which can cause things to kind of go haywire sometimes. If you were breathing in mold, that will cause your emotions to change or you to think something's going on that's not. And investigations, and I'm not just pinpointing those things, those are real things I've encountered on investigations, or even Steve in his time doing it. That was his job, was to go in and try to figure out what was going on beforehand. You know, you could find easily exposed wiring in a home. These are things that you need to get somebody out there to go check out. And paranormal investigative teams, if they're legit, are very well in tune to knowing that not everything out there is a ghost. The next step, if they deem and rule that there is no possible explanation for what you're experiencing and they have evidence that you're experiencing it, your next step is to reach out to whatever religious entity that you decide to do and or spiritual connection. If you are religious, reach out, you know, whatever practice you are, reach out to your practicing person above, or do it yourself and cleanse the home. I'm not telling you one way or another is better than another. When I do cleansings, I work with, you know, various objects, and it's just, that's how I do things. But other people have their own way of handling their own stuff. So let's say, I don't know what the major practicing religion in France is. Do you offhand count panic?
I do not.
Okay, let's just say off chance, and this is just me throwing a shot in the dark, you're Catholic, right? Call your priest. Don't ask for an exorcism. Just have him come over and bless the house, because an exorcism takes a lot of time. Just go in there and get a good house blessing and get the situation under control.
You'll be right about that.
Yes, it does take a lot to get an exorcism. If you are just a spiritual person and you're looking for that kind of a thing to be taken care of, you know, your local coven could come out and help out, you know, or your local Reiki master, whatever path you so choose to walk on. I don't judge. I'm happy. Whatever you decide to do. But you need to get rid of that situation. You need to go take care of your home.
Yeah, the thing about the exorcisms, too, there's a chain of command, right? The Pope goes all the way to the top. The Pope has to say, hey.
Really?
I believe the Pope has
to. I know it has to go through the bishop.
I thought the Pope makes the final decision on that. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I thought it was the Pope. I'm pretty sure the Pope makes the final.
But you can have a priest come bless your home.
Yes, you could have that.
You don't need a straight, like, exorcist moment going on, but a good blessing will take care of it, and then you just kind of will it, and that way there you're not sleeping on a balcony anymore. That sounds really uncomfortable. I don't know how hot it gets in France, but if it's anything like here, I feel for you guys. And nobody should ever get bullied and pushed around by a haunting in their home.
Bob, you might be right on that. I think the Pope does not have to. They lay it in the hands of the bishop as well, so that might be a faster chain of command to reach the bishop as opposed to the Pope. But maybe for the big ones, the Pope has to answer for that. So, but yes, blessing the home, also good, Bob. Blessing the home is also good.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. It just depends on whatever they're doing. Yes. Whatever you want to do, that's your decision. I would do things my way, but that's my way. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, let's move on to the next story. That's just my first one. I hope you guys find whatever help you're looking for. And David, if you're hearing this, if someone could get this to them, email me, bob@bobafterdark.com. If you can't figure out what to do, I will help you find help. I'm serious. I'm not joking. That's not a bit. I'll help you find help.
There you go.
All right. Next news story comes to us from, take a guess,
Coast to Coast?
Our old pal Tim Banal from Coast to Coast.
Okay.
And this is a Harvard astronomer launches alien hunting Galileo project. A Harvard astronomer has announced the formation of an ambitious new scientific group aimed at finding evidence for alien life either somewhere out in space or already visiting Earth. Avi Loeb made headlines over the past few years by way of his strong advocacy for the idea that interstellar object, oh boy, O-U-N-M-U-A-M-U-A, Onamana, may have been extraterrestrial in nature. Still believer in that theory, he has now taken a hypothesis a step further with the creation of the Galileo Project, which, according to a press release, aims to evolve the search of extraterrestrials from accidental or anecdotal observations and legends to the mainstream of transparent, validated, and systematic scientific research. Suggesting the seriousness which the group plans to approach the topic, they explain that the project intends to advance a systematic experimental search for cross-validated evidence of potential astro-archaeological artifacts or active technical equipment made by existing or extraterrestrial technology, civilizations, etc. In less scientific terms, they specifically hope to find kind of proof of aliens living or dead by the way either of ET artifacts or hardware. To that end, the Galileo Project considers themselves complementary to traditional SETI in that they'll be looking for physical material as opposed to radio signals emitting from space. As to how the group might accomplish this lofty goal, the Galileo Project outlined what it calls its three major avenues of research. First, they hope to produce photographic evidence of UFOs visiting Earth via a network of mid-sized high-resolution telescopes and detector arrays with the suitable cameras and computer systems. Sounds very expensive.
Yeah.
And then analyze that evidence using artificial intelligence. Additionally, they plan the search for objects similar to the folks, I'm not an extraterrestrial expert. I just play one on TV. It's that same word, unamino, in hopes that they might be alien or alien craft. The third path envisioned by the group is a hunt for potential cloaked ET satellites in Earth's orbit, which may already be secretly monitoring the planet. In explaining their choice to name the group, the Galileo Project indicated that they see their work as something of a new form of research akin to how the famed astronomer made critical discoveries via an improved design of an optical telescope by existing scientific dogma surrounding the existence of alien life in the universe, particularly the possibility that it's already visiting Earth. The group boldly declared that they are daring to look through the new telescopes. Time will tell whether this approach winds up a success or joins the rest of the scientific alien hunting efforts, which have so far fallen short. Hashtag panic stake.
Well, that's the thing. It's a complex issue as far as aliens go. And some people spend a lot of money on the research. Some people, you know, maybe just go off on a whim about it. But if it's your own money, Bob, who are we stopping them to research space? You know, as far as exploring life out there, so to speak, Bob. But the search continues on. I know there's still big news this year coming about more situations involving space out there. We're still waiting on that news. I don't know when they're going to drop it or not.
This new group sounds like it's got a lot of money to spend.
Well,
some of that technology is...
It's their money, though, right?
It's
not our money.
No, but no, it's insane. Money. That blows my mind how crazy that is.
Well, if you got it and want to explore the alien life forms out there, why not go for it? We need to know the answers, but I'm still waiting for the big news to come. It's supposed to be this year
I've been hearing things that these aliens were coming fill in the blank so many times already, and I believe that they're there. We're getting a lot more evidence now than we ever have been. We are closer now than we ever have been to actual proof that there's life outside of this rock we live on, right?
Mm-hmm.
This group sounds so ambitious.
Yeah.
I wish them the best of luck. I hope they manage to pull out this technology using alien artifacts.
It might happen, Bob. It might happen. I mean, let's see what they can do first.
Absolutely.
Let's see what they can do.
All right. Last news story comes to us from, take a guess, Tim Banal from Coast to Coast. And this is, curious crop formation causes commotion on a Mexican farm. In an odd story out of Mexico, a series of strange formations appeared in a farmer's field overnight, and no one is certain as to what have created them. According to a local media report, the weird case occurred in the community of Huejotzingo. Earlier on Monday, when residents heard a heard a loud noise like a plane passing by. That was how it was heard, recounted one witness. But the sound suddenly just stopped. Although they initially assumed that the sound was connected to a nearby airport, the tale took a puzzling turn the following day. We went to see if there was any signs of the strange noise, explained a witness, and that was when we saw the barley was cut all into parts. As can be seen from the video above, the crops have been badly damaged by some force that destroyed them in what appears to be a haphazard fashion. The incident raised concerns among residents who attempted to enlist the authorities to look into the matter, but their effort proved futile as the owners of the farm wanted no part in any investigation as he feared having his property overrun by thrill seekers hoping to see what they might suspect as something alien in nature. We are not interested in curious people coming to see what happened here, the family that owns the farm said. Nothing happened but a very strong gale and a constant rain for more than 3 hours. Well, the families claim that the incident was a natural occurrence, probably correct. Based in nature of the damage of the crops, their specific claim of what caused the incident was met by disbelief from the residents, who noted that it did not rain on that night in question. Be that as it may, they would be wise to let the mystery go, as the owner of the farm has announced that anyone who trespasses on the property to look at the odd crop formation will be shot on site. Hashtag panic stake.
It's been a while since we heard about, you know, crops and stuff in the news. Does that happen anymore, Bob? It seems like a bigger thing.
It doesn't pop up very much. And you know, we've talked about that recently.
Yeah.
And it's, where did they go? And I'm like, I think the initial crop circle phenomena was them warning that they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see them because now they're here.
Oh.
But this farmer is angry.
I would be too. I mean, you work long and hard on the farm. You put in all those hours and this happens to you. I'd be angry as well. And maybe those alien researchers could help this guy out.
He apparently doesn't want to talk about it. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, you think he knows something that we don't know, Bob?
It's possible.
You think he's seen things that we don't know?
You know, there's a thing I like to call, like, witness's guilt, which is where they witness something so horrific or something so unexplainable that they want no part of it.
Yeah.
And that's a good point in general. Even if something weird happened on your property, you don't want a bunch of people just wandering into, you know, on your property.
True, yeah.
I don't blame this guy for not wanting people there. You know how many people, like, wander into, like, fill in the blank, you know, any of those weird spots, and people just show up, and it's like, dude, like, can you leave?
Yeah.
You know, it's a popular thing. Like, look at the devil baby, a whole house.
Mm-hmm.
How many people show up the whole house looking for a devil baby when they're just trying to do their job?
It's just
how it is.
Well, what about people that live near, say, a road? You know, we got roads that are supposedly haunted out here, and there's a couple houses there. What about people like that that see people cross their yard and cross their path all the time?
I'd be angry.
Yeah.
I think Pete warned us once about the people that live on Reeder Road. That they'll get shot with paintball guns if they, you know, wander into their neck of the woods.
Yeah.
It's like, these people are trying to live. Don't, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go and do these things, go find the proper, like, channels to get, like, invited to be there. Or if you're going to go investigate, be very mindful of people's property. Because it's people's property. Don't be just breaking into people's, like, neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Someone's home.
Yeah. Well, I think people get overly excited, too, as far as that goes. They want to see some ghosts, they're ready to see some ghosts, and then
aliens,
they forget people live there.
Whatever
yeah.
it might be.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting crop circle. I'm going with the farmer on this one. I'm not going to buy that it's extraterrestrial made. It's not... I don't know how to describe it. There's no rhyme or reason to the pattern of it. So that's all what I got. I'm going to go with the skeptical side on this. I don't think extraterrestrial caused it.
All right.
It's definitely strange.
It is strange.
Excuse me.
Bizarre and strange, Bob.
Now, Kyle Panic, before we take a quick break, I wanted to give a quick thing about what's going on in Bob After Dark Land. So on top of all this new website exciting stuff that we're talking about, something else going on in the world of Bob After Dark is reviews. We need reviews, folks. So get on the Apple Podcast, Bob After Dark, and leave us a 5-star review. So Count Panic and toast you live on air. We haven't had one in a couple weeks.
No, yeah, what am I going to do?
And with this whole B-Files thing, folks, I want to hear your paranormal encounters. Reach out to us. I'd love to share them on air. Bob at BobAfterDark.com. Slide into the DMs, Instagram, Facebook, even on TikTok. I want to hear about your encounters so I could share them. You can remain anonymous, and I'd be okay with that. So reach out to us so we can have this part of the show filled up with greatness.
So even on TikTok, Bob, I could get you.
You can definitely do that.
All right.
And you can follow us on social media platforms across the board, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bob After Dark.
Simple as that. No MySpace, though.
No Bob After Dark MySpace. Yeah. Kyle Panic, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, folks, stick around in live audiences. We'll be right back in the podcast viewers. Keep your ears peeled because you're going to be hearing from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Greetings. We are the Retro Reductopus Cephala Podcast, the bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
He's right. We wax philosophic about lots of geeky crap like old video games and movies, toys, cartoons. I don't know. Help me out here.
Music.
Pants.
Quoting video games that don't have dialogues.
Shabibers.
Tasty news.
Unnecessarily long Japanese onomatopoeia.
Butt breathers.
Uncomfortable nature facts.
Or how to install a samoplange.
And unlike all those other podcasts, we at Retro Redocubus have an exciting rotating host schedule.
Do we?
We sure do.
So, if you didn't like the guy flapping his gums this week,
like me,
worry not, gentle listener. Next week, we'll have a whole new host.
Of problems.
Hey, they might still suck, but they'll suck differently.
And you know what's really cool? Retro Reductopus is part of the Dorkening and Inebriar podcast networks, with new episodes every Tentacle Tuesday.
Which is like every other Tuesday. We named it.
Anyways, you can listen to us at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or any podcast player cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all things that made growing up awesome.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. What'd you do during break?
During break? Well, I went back in time to Pierogi Fest this past week, and I got some of that corn.
Oh, what'd you think of the corn?
About. Fantastic, Bob. You know, I used my time travel for good to get corn from the past. So it was pretty good stuff. How was your break, Bob?
Oh, not too bad, Count Panic. You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I also went back in time
you did.
To the Pierogi Fest to go get corn, but I went the year before. I went back in 2019.
Oh, wait a second. Where was that? Okay. I was going to say, you couldn't go back last year. There was no corn being sold. But
no, but yeah. 2019.
You're right. How was it then?
It was good.
Even better or better now?
Still good corn.
Still good.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't want to cross paths with you in order to destroy the space-time
continuum. That would be
continuum.
Crazy, yes. I'm glad we both got our corn fix.
Absolutely. Now, Compounic.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't done on the show in a long time?
What's that?
We've not talked about cryptids. We've not had a cryptid story in a long time for the lore of the week. Mm.
That's right. It's been a
while.
We've been doing a lot of
ghost stuff lately, which is good. I like doing the ghost stuff, but sometimes shake it up a little bit.
Cryptids.
Cryptids are my bread and butter, man. I love the cryptid world is so interesting because it's like monsters among us, right? Which is, you know, quoting a great famous podcast called Monsters Among Us, but I love that. I love the cryptid world so much. And, you know, obviously Mothman's very near and dear to my heart, but there's so many other cryptids out there that don't get a lot of notoriety. Mothman and Nessie and Bigfoot being like the big three of the cryptid world. And there's so many other smaller ones like the Cattywampus or the Jackalope, or how about a pair of walking pants?
Walking pants.
A sentient, like, pair of white jogging pants.
That's a cryptid, Bob?
Yes. A pair of white jogging pants.
Okay.
To quote the great Dr. Anthony Rinker of the Des Plaines Ghostbusters, I am I am directly quoting his description of this cryptid. It is known as the Snitch Walker because it walks like a snitch. And the only way to keep him from snitching is to offer him orange chicken.
Really?
That's
is that
straight
right?
from the case files of Dr. Anthony Rinker, a man, a myth, and a legend in the paranormal world.
Orange chicken.
I don't understand it myself. That's what he calls his theories when the Des Plaines Ghostbusters get together and they try to come up with theories of how the paranormal works. Sometimes you get serious conversations, sometimes you don't. That's a big, no, they're listening right now, so shout out to the Displains Ghostbusters.
There you go.
Ben and Rinker and Matt, if he's over too. But anyway, tonight we discuss the sentient walking white jogging pants known as the Fresno Nightcrawler.
The Fresno Nightcrawler.
Yes.
I'm going to have to pull this up.
It's literally the most harmless cryptid I will ever talk about on the show ever. It might be probably the most harmless paranormal entity I will ever talk about on the show, because it's literally imagine you sewn the top of some white jogging pants together, or, you know, long johns, and you drew some black eyes on it, and there you go. You got the Fresno Nightwalker, or Nightcrawler, I'm sorry. According to the Cryptid Fandom Wiki, or the Cryptid Wiki, if you will, the Fresno Nightcrawler, also known as the Fresno Alien, is a cryptid that has made two appearances so far, one in Fresno, California, and the other in Yosemite National Park, also in California. In both sightings, it is only seen in the video footage. However, a man in Poland has claimed to see the creature, and this creature is also said to resemble the Carmel area creature. A lot of creatures we say here. Here's a couple different sightings I want to talk about before we get to the description of the said thing. Here's one of the sightings, the Carmel area creature. The witness, a 60-year-old former Marine yet to be named, and his wife were driving near Carmel on December 12, 2014, when they came up over the hill and saw a 7-foot-tall, gray, slender figure, now known as the Carmel area creature. The unnamed witness said the following: "We recently bought a place in the Fort Hill area in the southeast Highland County. We first noticed after 30 days of living here that we suddenly have a perfect circle that stays fresh green no matter what weather in our front yard. On Friday the night, the 12th, we were driving home. After turning on Carmel Road, which leads to our road, we went around the curve by the Carmel Church and then up a small incline approximately 10 feet over the incline, and in front of our truck, the, quote, alien ran across the road and into the woods. There are many possible sightings of the Nightcrawler in form of Carmel area creature. A thin, armless, pale white humanoid creature has also been seen in Ohio. The creature has also been spotted in Yosemite, where footage was taken again for what appears to be another security camera. This time there are two creatures, one being very small, less than about 5 feet, and the feet of the creature are clearly seen. It's one of what appears to be some sort of webbing connected from the knees to the upper body on the least. The cryptid has also been videotaped in Poland, This time from what appears to be a handheld camera juggling from the shakiness of the footage. The creature cannot be seen for too long, but appears to have similar traits to the larger one taped in Yosemite. A couple explanations: it's either an alien or extraterrestrial being, a new species, possibly a primate with short arms, a misidentified deer standing upright, pants or puppet on wire, a bird walking like a crane, or a person wearing big pants walking on stilts. That one's a bit more wackier than I expect. So the Fresno Nightcrawlers appear to be a relatively short creature, usually about 1.5 meters in height, with most of their height being made up in their legs, as they possess an extremely small upper body. It is hard to find the details in the upper body of the cryptid due to the poor quality of the footage. It is an extremely thin white humanoid with no discernible arms. A larger specimen appears to have webbing connected from each knees to the torso. The cryptids appear to have a very short, thin, and stilt-like feet. It is hard to judge the exact characteristics of the cryptids and the footage due to the poor quality. The Carmel area creature is tall and gray, with presumably no arms and two long muscular legs. It is bipedal and walks in an odd manner with its backward bending knee. It resembles the Fresno Nightcrawler. While there have been claims that they have been a part of Native American folklore in the region, this story has actually been debunked since. The first sighting of the Fresno Nightcrawler appeared in Fresno, California, by the man named Jose. Jose had a surveillance camera watching his front lawn and looked at the camera when he heard a dog barking. The Fresno Nightcrawler is one of the most known for being one of the two most featured video cases on the second episode of Sci-Fi's Fact or Fake: The Paranormal Files. The team deemed the Nightcrawler unexplainable. It is now considered a fun urban legend and an endearing addition to pop culture. Some of the sightings are actually a pair of white pants, but being puppeteered, therefore a hoax. There's a famous GIF of the Fresno Nightcrawler, which was found in an alley, which was created by YouTuber Captain Delusion by walking down an alley with a melon and then using a digital manipulation to remove the top half of his body. His purpose demonstrates how easily these videos of cryptids could be falsified. What do you think so far of the Fresno Crawler, Copenic?
Sorry, I think the phone line was beeping there.
Do we have a phone?
Yeah, you want to take
it
live?
Yeah, we'll take it live.
All right, let's do it.
Is it John calling us late at night?
No, we
take
don't
him live. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hello, my name is Elise. I am actually Tony's cousin.
Elise,
my cousin, right?
You have family?
I do have family.
Hi, Elise, Tony's cousin.
Hi, look me up on Facebook. I actually have a couple different stories to share for you. One of them is personal, like a ghost story, I guess it would be, that actually happened to my son and his father under their home, and it was just, the story was wild. The
Excellent.
Other one I have to share is about missing 411. Are you familiar with it?
I am not.
Dave. Ooh. Oh, my God. Wait, you guys hear this. Okay. David Pilates is a retired police officer, okay, who started noticing that all these people are going missing in all these national parks. Over every national park considered in the United States. So he determined that like 3,000 people have gone missing over the last 30 years. Granted, some people fall off a cliff, some fall into a crevice, some of, you know, they get abducted or animal predation, but there are a lot of bizarre instances where nobody can explain, you know, the person was walking right behind them for one moment and then the next thing they drop off. They bring dogs in to track these people, and the dogs will follow the tracks only so far and then just dead stop. Like they were just crystallized into thin air. They have no idea. And he doesn't say what's taking them. He doesn't know. This man has wrote 8 books on the subject of all these people going missing. And it's just it's a story you guys got to check into. It's unbelievable.
Bob, is there any real reason behind that, you think?
I'm familiar because it's been a popular topic that's been coming up recently, and it's definitely something worth researching into, where these people just disappear from, especially in like the national parks. It's very creepy stuff.
It is. And actually this guy has, I believe, 1 or 2 movies on YouTube that you can go and watch. It's called The Missing 411, The Hunted. And it's definitely worth something checking out. But, you know, checking into his website and reading about it, and please stay out of the national parks because there's so much. What they're encountering is something that just is like, I don't know what movie it was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it's like almost a cellophane person that they can see tracking through the woods. And it's very cryptid, and they don't know what's taking these people, and I mean, it's just unbelievable. So he started noticing that there were some very similarities in between all the people that are going missing. And say, for instance, the kids that go missing, they'll end up 15 miles away in areas that even Les Stroud, the survivor man, tried to follow their tracks and could not. So, you know, that's just... I really would like to get the word out there about all these people going missing in national parks because it's becoming scary.
Very popular destinations, too, as well, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's something we'll have to put on the docket there to talk about soon.
Sure.
Elise, Panic's cousin, if I can ask something of you then. Have you heard of the strange staircases that are being found in these national parks as well?
I have. I've read about it. I'm very well read into this. And Tony's dad did not know it until we were talking yesterday. And he's like, you should call into the show and share all this with them. So that's what I'm doing. But, the staircases are the one things that the park rangers will not talk about. They've been asked and asked and asked about it. And they said, if it's there, don't even go near it. Just keep on going, but don't mention it.
We'll have to do an episode about this soon.
Yeah,
because that was on my list of things I wanted to talk about very soon, was these national park disappearances. I appreciate that. And folks, real quick, Lisa, we're going to get to your story. Folks, anytime we do the live show, you can call in. Our phone number is 219-845-1100. Call anytime you'd like. Talk about anything that pops up on your mind paranormal-wise, or a sighting you might have had, or an experience. I'd love to hear about it. Put Count Panic to work when he's back there. tell us what else is on your mind, Elise. And I don't know if you're taking place of John or not. We didn't hear from John at all.
I know what he's doing tonight. He's counting something.
I don't either. But I will share with you a personal story of mine. And it happened actually to my son and my son's father. They lived in we're divorced and they live in a separate home, but I would go over there and visit quite a bit. And I was laying down one time, and I remember, like, the comforter being, like, whipped right off of me. I mean, completely off me. And I was like, did I just imagine this? What is going on? So that happened, and then pretty soon, really strange things started happening. Brad, my son's father, got pinned down, like, on the shoulders while he was laying in bed, unable to get up, about two different times. And each time he was pinned down, it lasted for about a good minute. And a lot of people will say it's sleep paralysis, but he was awake and he knows what happened to him. He was not a believer before all this started happening. And then my son ended up with three scratches down his back.
Huh.
No reason why that kid should have had this. He doesn't climb trees. He didn't get marked up by a nail. I mean, there was no reason. His girlfriend had the identical same three scratches down her back. And that's when I really started to get scared, because it's like, how can you protect your kid from some unknown spirit going around this house, you know, possibly hurting them now? So he started to notice a dark shadow in front of his bedroom door, and he was just like, Mom, I'm starting to get really afraid. So he was home alone one day, went upstairs, and found the Christmas tree had been picked up and moved about 12 feet and laid on its side on the couch. And it was one of those Christmas trees that touched the ceiling, you know, in the home. It's huge. And nobody was home with the kid. There's no reason that Christmas tree should have been moved, much less laying on its side with all the lights and ornaments. So it ended up breaking the gingerbread house and a couple other things. So that's when I was like, you know what? I need to really do something. I read about blessing homes. So I had a girlfriend come in with me, and we brought in white candles and placed salt around the home and, of course, said prayers in each room and did a smudging with the sage. And after that, things quieted down. And I couldn't really figure out why they were having issues, because it's not like the land that they were living on was anything special. I mean, it was a home. They were the only people that had lived in that home. So, you know, there should have been no reason for it to be haunted. Come to find out, Brad's ex-wife had lived in New Orleans for a while. And we were putting two and two together just like within the last month. And you know what? He said to me, Brad said, my ex-wife's girlfriend said that, you know, if we ever broke up or we ever got in an argument, she would really place a curse on me because she was from New Orleans.
Wow.
And I believed in all that voodoo. So I really link and think that is what happened to that house.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, that's fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
That's extremely fascinating. Thank you for sharing that, Elise.
How was that resolved, though? Was it ever resolved?
Did you guys deal with it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I went in there with two girlfriends. We went in there with white candles.
Okay.
And I read about how to bless a home.
Yeah.
So, you know, I blessed it myself. And I think with the strength of our spirituality and the knowledge, I really believe that's what eradicated it. You know, because they didn't have any more problems after that.
See, Bob, you were just talking earlier about the story about that.
Sometimes if it's low enough vibration. The power always lies within you first. If you don't feed into it and you kind of give it the skedaddle, sometimes they skedaddle. It's just all about having mind over matter, if you will.
Right. Sometimes they don't. And I was, you know, I was ready for that also, but I thought I'm going to take a chance and try blessing it myself, you know, with a couple friends that are also strong in the spirituality movement. And by God, it worked.
Got to start somewhere.
Cousin Elise, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing this. I hope you're a fan of the show, too.
Thank you. I just kind of like, I didn't realize you guys were even around. So, as I said, it was talking.
That's what we get told often, late night WJOB, who listens to this.
But no, I am a fan of this show, and I definitely want to keep in touch with you guys. It's a missing 411, and if there's anything I can do to further help you, let me know.
Let's put on the docket very soon there,
Count
Panic.
All right, for sure.
And thank you, Cousin Elise, for calling in. Really appreciate
that. Okay, you guys take care. Good talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
How about that?
My
cousin right there.
Cousin Elise
right there.
Appreciate that.
That was nice.
It's kind of a replacement for John. I don't know
what
John's
doing. Well, you got somebody on the line here.
Put him on
live. It could be anybody, though. I don't know who it is.
Take a live. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there. John, you're calling in late.
Well, you know what? I was hoping Elise was going to call in.
You didn't want to block the phone lines, right?
Right. Well, you know, I've known Elise since she was, you know, in high school or grade school days. And we, although she was in Crown Point, we haven't, you know, really got together that much. So we were by her mom's condo yesterday, my wife, her mom, and our other cousin. And, you know, over a sandwich, she's telling the story. And then... you know, I'm just listening. Then she told another story, and, you know, so I put the sandwich down, and I'm not eating, and I'm just looking at her, and she's down. I said, so I interrupted her. I said, Elise, I said, wow, this is, oh my gosh, this is a, you know, this is something that Bob After, you should share with Bob After Dark, which she wasn't really that familiar on what times you guys were on or what you were all about, so I kind of, you know, mentioned to her that you're heavily into the paranormal activity and ghost hunting and that with your apparel, and this is what you do. And so she was fascinated by that because she's somewhat into that. And I never, all these years I knew her, you know, I never knew she was into the paranormal activity also, and that she had these stories that she shared with you tonight. And I was telling her, I said, you're always asking for people to call and share a story. She's got stories that probably could, you know, she could call every Tuesday for the next year and share. So I'm glad she called. I'm glad, you know, she's going to be a listener now because she does have some fascinating stories. And she kind of shocked me when we were talking yesterday about this. So hopefully, you know, she'll continue to listen and, you know, and call in and see what you have to say about these situations she encounters. So
now, John, I appreciate this, but there's an important question on everybody's mind right now.
Sure.
What kind of sandwich was it?
It was a tuna salad sandwich?
Not for me.
It's no meat on that, though.
I don't eat fish.
You don't eat fish?
I don't eat fish. Oh. Not my cup of tea.
Chicken salad.
Fair enough. I can't eat that either.
I don't eat that either. But, you know, that was a joke, John. But either way, I appreciate you sharing the Bob After Dark world to somebody.
Well, like I said, she, you know, this is what one part of Elise I never knew existed, I guess, if you want to call it that way. Because, you know, like I said, she's telling these stories. I'm listening. And another one. And I said, geez, Elise. I said, this is perfect for what Bob After Dark is into and is looking for people to call up and, you know, share and ask his opinion on how these things are coming to be or, you know, what is the resolution to solve them and stuff like that. So very interesting two topics she brought up this evening. So I was waiting for her to give you a call and then I'll follow up on that. So
there you go.
Well, thank you so much, John. I appreciate that. I hope you're enjoying the show this week.
Yeah, you have a nice evening and rest of the week.
You too, John. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
There you go. Word of mouth.
Folks, do you want to be like John? and be the super fan every week. John's missed like two episodes since we've been doing the show, as far as calling in. Our phone lines are open for the little bit of time that we have left on the show. We haven't heard from Jack in a while either.
I hope he's okay. But
I'm sure he probably didn't understand when we switched from Facebook.
Oh, he thinks the show's canceled.
He probably... No, Jack would have texted me by now.
Well, that's the thing, too, what Elise was saying, too. The power of... You know, you sometimes you run into people in life and they say, well, I'm going to put a hex on you. And you kind of shrug it off. But in some cases, Bob, they really mean it.
Oh, yeah. Please. You got to be careful when you cross the witches there, Panic, or the other people. But there's, and it's not even just witches. You have to understand that curses, hexes, spells, it's energy that you have put intention into, right? Mm-hmm. And not every person who's a witch is going to cast hexes. One, that takes a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's a lot of negative energy that you just don't want to cast carrying around. But people who don't even identify as witches, you understand that there's actual things behind putting energy behind intent. That's very important, and that there's definitely something to that. Mm-hmm. So we really, you know, you just gotta be careful when you do those things. And I 100% believe in that. There's a lot of energy. There's energy to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And it's the same thing with cleansings or fill in the blank, right? There's always, it's energy that you put behind it. Sometimes you need to kind of focus that energy on something specific, but you get the idea.
See, it's the creepy, eerie stuff like this that makes me appreciate cryptids such as these pant walkers here.
I have a feeling that you're going to become a big fan of the Fresno Nightcrawler.
So these walkers, really, no harm
whatsoever.
They just
walk, they're just, they got, so there's a term in the paranormal community, as coined by Dr. Anthony Rinker, and I use that term because he's one of the leading experts in the Fresno Nightwalker case, Nightcrawler case. I keep saying the Nightwalker, but that's because it makes sense. But Dr. Anthony Rinker, he's one of the leading experts in this, and he calls it the Jimmy legs. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you kind of walk. There's no real threat to it. Maybe they walk at fast speeds and bump into you, but there's no, like, arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you encounter one of these things, it's really, they're harmless.
Just stand still.
Yeah, and yeah. They're not going to attack you.
No, but, you know, I got a little bit more facts about them here before we round it up here. So, if you go and search the Fresno Nightcrawler on YouTube, this produces a long list of videos that have been watched millions of times. One video alone of the Fresno Nightcrawler's encounters has been watched more than 1.4 million times. A lot of views. Some of the Mothman encounters don't even have that much, but this little walking dude just going about his business. And I'm getting this, by the way, from the Fresno Bee, which is the local newspaper in Fresno. They had a good write-up about the walker. Paranormal investigator Victor Camacho analyzed the original surveillance footage shortly after it was captured in 2007 by a frightened Fresnan. Camacho said he was contacted after the man brought the footage from his front lawn in South Fresno to the television network Univision looking for answers. The video became better known in 2010 after the television show Fact or Fake Paranormal Files included in one of their episodes. The group determined that the footage was to be unexplainable after trying to recreate it with puppets and a child dressed in a wet sheet. The show called them Nightcrawlers. That's never what was made sense in the local expert in the matter, Michael Banty, founder of Weird Fresno. Since the things don't crawl, they walk. Hence why I call them the Nightwalker. I mean, they kind of crawling would imply that they're like all on fours, but these things are like upright walking and using the legs. The walking crawlers continue to be celebrated. Marketing of the mysteriousness has included Nightcrawler pins and hand-sewn Nightcrawler pillows. And there's even a steady stream of Nightcrawler artwork popping up all over social media. The Nightcrawlers are different from everything Banty and Camacho has ever seen before. There's likely a dictionary of different cryptids or strange creatures, like there's Bigfoot and the Chupacabra. There's never anything like this before, Banty said, and no one really has been able to determine what it exactly is. They remind Banty of fairy people. Camacho speculates that Nightcrawlers could be an extraterrestrial insectoid, approximately 3 feet tall and resembling a praying mantis. Others just see pants. Mm-hmm. Fresno resident Matthew Jacobs weighed in on the Fresno Nightcrawler discussion on Twitter by saying the elusive being is just a cloth puppet on a wire, or maybe just a pair of pajama pants. Banty is undecided on the validity of the original surveillance footage, his gut telling him one thing, his head another, but said a couple of popular videos circulated later appear to be fake. Camacho believes the first video is real. Camacho said the man who shared the video, who was only identified as Jose, and has since died, unfortunately, was initially filmed talking about it without showing his face because he was so scared. He didn't even want to go out of his house, Camacho said. He stayed in his house for a couple weeks. It wasn't possible that someone tried to make the video just to fool you on a TV station. Jacobs pointed to a video debunking the Nightcrawler case before talking about its enduring awesomeness. Love a good urban legend, ghost story, and a bit of lore just for the entertainment and elements of culture, Jacob wrote. In some ways, it's pretty Fresno that our local cryptid is a puppet made of pajama pants. I don't mean that to be insulting. That's just how Fresno could be. There have been reports of possible sightings outside the area, one as far away as Poland. We were talking about that before. But Camacho and Banty are still waiting for actual video footage of that. As for why Fresno, Banty joked with the Mad Scientist podcast, that's likely the city's reputation for its delicious tacos. The men debunk the claim that the Nightcrawlers resemble beings from local Native American folklore. We talked about that earlier, too. That stems from photos shared similar long-walking wooden statues in an unknown location. Camacho, also a host of radio program Los Devilazos that airs nationally in the U.S. and Mexico, hopes people stay open-minded. He presented his Nightcrawler findings in the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, conference shortly after his investigation. Camacho left things open-ended. Could be extraterrestrial, could be elves. I don't know, he said at the end of his presentation. Whatever you want to think.
Leave it up to the imagination, I guess, Bob.
Now calm panic.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Fresno Night. I'm going to call it the... I hate the term Nightcrawler because, it's, as they were saying in the article by the Fresno Bee, there's no... It doesn't crawl. It clearly walks in these videos. It, like, just kind of flails.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the walker?
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, this is probably the least harming cryptid you ever talked about in the history of the show. I mean, it's a... In all honesty, I wouldn't mind running into it. It sounds like a quite the character, so to speak, Bob. I mean, to see this just roaming about the land,
it just
might be pretty cool.
Just kind of walks.
Yeah. You know, this is up there. I think in this Cryptid Hall of Fame, this is up there.
This is up there. This is as far as paranormal stories are concerned with you, I know there's the two big ones, right?
Yeah.
There's Nessie.
Of course, can't forget.
And the Yule Cat.
Gotta put them up there, yeah.
Does the Fresno Nightcrawler make it to the Count Panic Paranormal Mount Rushmore?
Four spots, yes, it does. Now, the fourth spot, I don't know who's going to, but this one's making
this
it up
this makes
there,
it yes. up there. Are you excited to learn about the Fresno Nightcrawler?
That was fascinating, Bob. I didn't know. You know, I
what's your take on it? You think it's some sort of alienoid? You think it was hoaxed?
Bob, what I'm seeing, these pictures and images and these videos, I don't know. There's a way you can probably get around that and distort some stuff, but I can't explain it. It's an eerie-looking thing, that's for sure, Bob, but it doesn't look harmful. As you mentioned, it's not harmful, so I wouldn't mind running into one. And just they don't talk, right? They're just...
The couple of encounters we've seen, they just...
Do they say it?
They just walk.
But do they make noise or anything like that?
Don't
like
know.
If you try to have a conversation, does it? It's just does it do anything?
It's kind of flails. It's pants.
Yeah. Well, have you tried talking to a pair of pants before?
No, I
there
have
you
not.
Go. Yeah.
So,
kind of like
so
that.
Do you believe it's real?
Yes.
You believe it's real.
Putting it in the top three, I believe it's real. I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was real. Why would I mean this thing sounds like the most real thing we ever talked about before.
This is the hill you're dying on. This is the legit, like, you know, we've been doing the show now for like 2 years, right? We've been doing this for two long years.
Yeah.
And out of everything you and I have talked about and discussed and adventured on and everything else, this is the hill you're standing on. The most real paranormal experience and thing we've ever talked about. The Fresno Nightcrawler.
There's no supernatural thing behind it. There's no superpowers. There's no... He's not going to... Or whatever they are, not going to harm you. It's just a pair of pants roaming about. So I think it's the most believable thing you talked about on the show in 2 years, honestly. Right?
Oh, my God. It's the Fresno Nightcrawler.
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, I think there's no... this is the most believable thing we got.
I am so glad.
Do you not think it's real? Bob, this is Bob After Dark. You're supposed to believe.
There are things that you and I have discussed on the show that I will stand on the hill and be like, yeah. False, fake, not real.
You think this is false?
No, actually, I believe that the Fresno Nightcrawler is real.
Yeah.
Do I think it's an extraterrestrial, like, insect thing that came here? Nah, I got another theory. I'm going to stick with fey folk. I bet this thing's some sort of fey that's how it thought humans looked like, and that's how it manifested when crossing over from the green. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. There's your end right there.
That's my theory.
Okay. I believe it. We got to go. Where can we find these again?
Fresno. And apparently Poland.
Only there. Poland.
Poland. Yeah. Go back to our native land.
If we have never a chance to go to Poland, Bob, this is
we talked about the mermaids down of Poland before, but apparently Poland also has dragons and the Fresno Nightcrawler.
Those mermaids you talked about, terrifying. Not like the Disney stuff that portrays. I mean, these mermaids will drag you down.
I think we need to revisit mermaids here in a future episode.
The walking pants aren't going to harm you.
It's just your thing now.
Yeah.
Yule Cat and the... Nessie. Okay, hear me out. If somebody gets... Jeez. If somebody gets the Fresno Nightcrawler as a gift, does the Yule Cat determine that as a brand new article of clothing?
There you go. That would be a battle you would like to see, right?
I don't think the Fresno Nightcrawler is capable of battling. I think it's just this thing that just...
It's like a Pokemon. You throw it out there and hope for the best.
Oh, my
so
God.
So you're saying the Battle of the Cryptids, going down.
Okay, in listing of the most threatening thing we've talked about on this show, which what I argue would probably be like the Knuckle Avy, would be like top baddie, maybe with like the Kelpie, right? Those are like my two like big dangerous things we've talked about. Mm-hmm. The Fresno Nightcrawler, bottom of the list of threatening, but nearly tops the list as interesting.
There you go. That's good enough. As long as it's interesting, that's the main
thing. It's fascinating listen, the thing you have to think about, and this is going to be my closing statement before we give it to you for your closing statement. If somebody faked that video, the original surveillance footage that Jose shot, if that is faked, who sat down one night and said, I'm going to puppeteer a pair of pants to go run across people's lawns? Why?
You're right. There's no explanation for
like that. That doesn't make sense. No. And those people that we were reading that interview from, where they were talking about the weird happenings of this thing, it's kind of like, why would you fake that? Now I can understand why you'd fake it, because obviously attention and stuff. It's like the rigged videos or anything else you see online. There's going to be obvious fakes. But this thing was more distinct. It doesn't make sense to fake that initially. Like, it just doesn't. You know, at one point, it's like, we're going to make an alien out of a pair of pants?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah. That's my hill I'm dying on. All right. I don't think it's alien. I think it's fake.
Fair enough.
What's your closing statement?
My closing statement, Bob, I'll never look at the pair of pants the same way again. I'm always going to see Fresno Nightcrawler in those pair of pants.
Quick shout out to Dr. Anthony Rinker from the This Plains Ghostbusters for helping me, and I use this term very loosely, research the topic of the Fresno Nightcrawler.
There you go. Well?
Well?
Eventful episode, Bob.
Eventful episode, Cal Panic. All right. Good night, everybody. And to my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweet dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are Not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.